Tonight our study is out of the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 15 to 38, Paul's timeless address to local church leaders. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. We can thus learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts chapter 21 to 14 records Paul's final address to the elders of the church of Ephesus. I'm sorry, that has to be corrected. Acts chapter 20, verses 15 to 38. That needs to be changed. And so we view the passage for our insight and our edification as follows. I'd like to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Acts chapter 20, verses 15 through 38. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul was determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend time in the province of Asia, for he hurried, as it were, possible for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know that from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have seen been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in and wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, brothers, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or await me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brothers, I commend you to the God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or clothing. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down, this is on the beach, and prayed with them all. And they wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. As Paul sailed along the western coast of the Roman province of Asia, hurrying towards Jerusalem to be there for the Feast of Pentecost, he bypassed Ephesus, where there was a large Christian church, lest he be delayed in meeting with its believers and thus miss Pentecost. Accordingly, when his ship stopped at the port of Miletus, Miletus is about 25, 30 miles south of Ephesus, he called for the elders of the church at Ephesus that he might address them the last time in his earthly life. So this is a moving event. It was a very important event. Paul had led these people to Christ. He had shepherded this church, and this church meant a lot to him. And eventually this church, Ephesus, became the capital church when Jerusalem fell to the Romans and whatnot. The Christians were there. In fact, John the Apostle actually pastored this church. It was a very large church in time. But Paul is going to address him in this passage, his last address in this life. So it's got to be a very important one. Paul's address reviewed his past ministry at Ephesus in verses 18 to 21. It described his present situation in verses 22 to 27 and gave the future responsibilities of the church elders in verses 28 to 35 as follows. First of all, Paul reviewed his past 3-year spiritually exemplary ministry at Ephesus. The apostle reported that throughout his ministry at Ephesus, he had lived a transparent life. Specifically, Paul had served the Lord with humility, with tears, and with trials from the plots against him by the Hebrew unbelievers, not shrinking from declaring to them anything that was profitable, teaching both publicly in the town or house-to-house churches of repentance towards God and faith in Christ for salvation. Now, it's interesting. I actually have had a pastor tell me that the word house-to-house means the pastor must visit all the houses in the local church, but that's not what Paul meant here. The expression house-to-house is contrasted with Paul's public ministry in the square. And what these were probably house churches. They didn't have church buildings as we have today. The only place they met was in houses. So wherever the church would meet in these houses, Paul would go to them. Maybe at Ephesus they might have 4 or 5 houses to house all the people. So he would go to in various parts of the city. And so he would go to them house to house, and in the public square he was preaching the word. Actually, today we would apply it church to church. He was ministering the word of God. And then Paul described the present situation, verses 22 to 27. Currently he was going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what would occur, except that the Holy Spirit testified in every city that he would face imprisonment and afflictions. Now, the testimony of the Holy Spirit came through prophets. They had prophets in the church in that time, and these prophets would warn about the fact, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound, you're going to suffer afflictions. But Paul knew that, but he wasn't stopping. He was going to go. Paul did not consider his earthly life as holding of any value to himself, but only that he might finish his ministry course that he had received from Jesus to testify of the gospel of God's grace. In verse 24, incidentally, a tremendous verse, but none of these things move me, neither account my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This is where the ministry of the Word of God is more important than life. That's saying something, but it is. You have to be prepared to lay your life down for it if you're called unto the Lord. Paul then announced that none of the elders would see his face again. So he testified that he was innocent of the blood of all of his listeners and that he had declared unto them the whole counsel of God. Now, what did he mean by innocent of the blood of all men? That's a reference to, and he's speaking to men, of course, who knew the Old Testament. A lot of these were Jews. Back in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, God was commissioning the prophet Ezekiel to minister to the children of Israel. And he was supposed to preach and warn them about the fact that the Babylonians were going to come and that they would lose their lives, many of them, if they didn't repent. So God says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you give him not warning, nor do you speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his sin, but his blood I will require at thine hand. In other words, it's going to be capital punishment for you. You're supposed to warn them so that their lives can be saved by repenting. But if you don't warn them and he loses his life, guess what? Your life, I'm going to count your life as being lost too. Verse 19, yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So that's why Paul said, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. I've preached. I've given the gospel. I've preached the full counsel of the word of God. So no one can blame me for that. And I've completed my assignment there at Ephesus. I've done what God wanted me to do. Accordingly, based upon these emphases, and you notice Paul emphasized the teaching ministry that he'd had in the first section of this past 3-year ministry. He's also in this situation where he's describing the present situation. He's talked about the fact that he's innocent of the blood of all men because he's emphasized the ministry of teaching. He does the same thing in his charge to the elders of the church on the future responsibilities of the elders. He urged the elders to pay close attention to themselves and to the entire church over which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers, that they care for the church of God which he had obtained with his own blood on the cross. Two things here. Church leaders need to watch for themselves. One of the things that we are responsible before the Lord as church leaders, whether you're a pastor or a deacon or an elder, or one of the men in the church, what we're responsible is to watch ourselves, watch our own walk with God. Where are we with the Lord? This is why every Friday I read through the pastoral epistles and go through them and check and see where am I with the Lord, because we're accountable for the Lord. And if we're off the beaten track, we need to get back on the track. We need to get right with the Lord. But that's the first thing. And then, after watching ourselves and paying attention to our own souls, we need to care for the church of God, because that church he obtained with his own blood on the cross. I look out on a congregation like this, or like I did this morning, and realize the people who have accepted Christ as their Savior in the church, these people are priceless to God because they've been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's the case, boy, as leaders of the church, do we have a responsibility. These people are priceless to God, so we better be careful how we handle them. And that means we need to be careful in regards to their discipleship. Well, to clarify what they were to watch, Paul predicted that after his departure from this life, fierce wolves, and a wolf, what a wolf does, a wolf doesn't care for the sheep. The wolf takes advantage of the sheep for its own benefit. And that's what these false teachers would do. They would take advantage of the people of God, not for the sake of the people, but for themselves. There'd be very self-centered men, and it'd be brutal. So Paul warned, fierce wolves would come in among the body, not sparing the flock, and that even from themselves, this would be men from the elder board itself, would rise, speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them into apostasy. And of course, church history is full of this, the record of this. So you'll notice that the need for watching out for theological error, watching out for false motives in those who are leaders. Paul thus called the elders to be alert to this threat, recalling how that for 3 years he did not cease to admonish everyone with tears to stay aligned with the truth of God. The apostle then commended them to God and to the word of his grace, which was able to build them up and give them the inheritance among all who are sanctified in Jesus Christ. Paul closed his appeal by reminding the elders of his own selfless testimony of not coveting anyone's money, but working hard with his own hands. Now that would be just the opposite of what false teachers would do. False teachers would come in and they would put the squeeze on the congregation to pay for them and to help them. And Paul didn't do this. He worked with his own hands so that he wouldn't be a cost to the people. He had a right to receive remuneration, but he didn't. And that's one of the marks of a false teacher. He's greedy for money. That's what you really need to watch out for. And then Paul's last appeal was to the words of Christ, found only here in Scripture, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I happen to have a red letter edition, and the words, "it is more blessed to receive to give than to receive," those words are in red letters here. Those words of the Lord Jesus are not found in any of the four Gospels. Apparently this is one of the oral traditions that survived, but our Lord's words are found here. And of course, Paul quoted some of the words that the Lord addressed him with on the road to Damascus. He did that, I think, in his speech before King Agrippa. So there are a few words here and there that are quoted about the Lord Jesus and other passages of Scripture that are absolutely priceless. And of course, that's, in a nutshell, exactly what a leader should be doing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We're not in leadership to get. We're in leadership to give and not to receive. So upon finishing his address, Paul knelt down on the shore, and he prayed with the elders, and they wept and gave a farewell greeting, grieving most at his word that they would not see his face again in this life. It must have been a very difficult situation. Paul had poured out his soul for these people. He worked very, very hard, and he had paid a big price. There had been this huge riot at Ephesus, you remember, and he'd gone through that with these dear people. But he had ministered, and these people had come to know the Lord. And so these men were dear to him, and he was dear to them. So based on his own selfless testimony and the selfless testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought the church with his blood, Paul called the elders at Ephesus selflessly to care for the doctrinal and the spiritual integrity of the church. So may we local church leaders selflessly care for the doctrinal and the spiritual integrity of the church. After the morning service this morning, I was speaking with our assistant treasurer back in the Fellowship Hall. He'd been down recently visiting some relatives in Florida. He and his wife had gone down there. And, of course, he'd attended some churches down there, went into it, and it's supposed to be a Bible Belt down in the South. And he said, Pastor, it's amazing what they'll do in a church, even in a Bible church. They'll start off with maybe giving a verse or a second verse, or they'll quote it. And then before you know it, they're jumping off and they're going off into human reasoning. But they're not expounding the word. And he said, it made me grateful that we do have that teaching here. But he says, I really hope that we stick with that, that we don't depart from it. Because he says, down there where it's supposed to be a Bible Belt, it's not a Bible Belt. Now, I told him, I said, we have another family of ours that had been here. It's moved down to South Carolina, and I hear the same word. In fact, they have not found a church that they're comfortable with, and that's South Carolina. That's a Bible Belt. That they're just not giving the word. It's just not. They don't want to compromise. They want to make sure that theologically they're accurate, but that they're actually doing the work of God. So they've started a Bible study. I guess the woman in the family has started a Bible study with some women down there, but they miss the fellowship here, and they're going to be coming back up in the month of May. They'll be in the area. They have some family big events that are occurring, a wedding, and another daughter's going to be having a baby, so they'll be back up here. But there's this tremendous need. So this is a crying need. I'll never forget when I was at Multnomah School of the Bible in Portland, Oregon. There's a great big church called Central Bible Church. Members, 1,500 people are in the church, huge church. And some of our classes in the Bible College are up there in that big church, which is close to the campus. And Dr. John Mitchell was the pastor of the church. He was also the founder of Multnomah School of the Bible. And I was there and witnessed when he turned the pastorate over to Dwight Custis, who was the pastor following him. And it was an incredibly emotional experience because he'd been pastor there for, many decades. And he turned to Dr. Custis. His name was, first name I think, was Dwight. He said, Dwight, guard your own soul. He was just weeping at that point, saying, guard yourself, protect your soul. And he was concerned for the welfare of the flock because he said, if you don't protect your soul, what's going to happen to the people here? And it was a very moving experience, and I thought it must have been like that with the Apostle Paul, with the elders. Very moving. But the way to do this is to keep hold of the solid truths of God's Word. The truths of God's Word, that's the basis. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. That's what it's about. If we get away from preaching the truth, all we are is a club. That's it. We're nothing more than a club, nothing more than a political party. But we need to be sticking with the truth. So God help us to stay with the truth.